Hey, guess what? It's another episode of Trailer Dump.
Woo!
Where we spend valuable airtime talking about commercials.
Hey. Yeah. Commercials for movies.
That's true. That makes it better.
He's still not wrong.
I'm Frank, and I'm joined in studio by Al and Big Papa P, and our special guest, Lala. Hi, Lala. How are you?
Hi. I have pizza. I'm happy.
Is that the voice you're going to do the entire show?
No.
All right. Thank you. So we have, So on this episode, we will be talking about a bunch of new trailers that just dropped. I'm trying, guys. Trailers dropped.
I appreciate the pun.
Do we want to list them off at the beginning? Yeah, let's do some of the ones we're going to cover. We're going to do Black Panther. We're doing Justice League, X-Men, New Mutants, Murder on the Orient Express, and Like, sure, whatever. And a bunch of others, probably.
Lil Abner.
It's a straightforward murder.
The Little Abner trailer?
Lil Abner.
There's a Lil no Abner series Lil Abner. Movie? Is that, yeah. is
no,
that a thing?
But They'll wouldn't that be awesome?
Heart. It would be great.
Do it Hollywood.
Yep. Has Gennady Tartadinsky ever made or released his Popeye movie?
Well, just the one.
What happened here?
I don't know.
If there was a series of animated Popeye movies Gennady made, I need to watch this.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're from that universe. Never mind. No. Right. No, it never happened.
I'm just going to have to edit all of this out right into this part. First trailer up, as determined randomly by this computer I'm looking at. It's Marvel Studios Black Panther. Hooray! All white cast? What do we think about it? Could have put some thought into today's show. Could have asked a few people. There are plenty. All right, whatever.
Well, I think the parts with Bilbo looked really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Tolkien white boys.
Yes.
I will never not use that joke right now I saw it.
Well, that is the best thing because you got it. All right, good.
Yeah. So we caught up. We good?
Here's my favorite part about the trailer. Stylistically, like that setting. Wakanda as a setting looks amazing.
Absolutely.
Loving it.
And I think my favorite part about Wakanda as a setting in the MCU is that it brings a bunch of history to the Marvel Universe. Now, hear me out. When did superheroes start showing up and doing stuff in the Marvel Universe cinematically? It was obviously Iron Man. It was the first movie that came out, and he's the one who kind of said, you know what? Superheroing.
They never referenced
anybody beforehand in the original Iron Man movie. Once they said, hey, let's make a universe, then yeah, they kind of retrofitted Captain America in pretty seamlessly, and we all applauded them for that. We did little golf claps for them.
Yeah.
Up until 2 years ago when Ant-Man came out, they went into the Cold War, and it was like they kind of fleshed out all those blank spots, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, mm-hmm. this is pretty cool. But it still doesn't seem super historic. Whatever happens in that space city with the Vikings, what is it called again?
Asgard.
That's the guy.
Thank you.
That's a space city with Vikings. It doesn't really matter. It has no, like, earthly significance, but Wakanda, the secret city of Wakanda, or country of Wakanda, kind of makes it feel like, oh, there could be a lot more history in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that we just haven't seen yet. Mm-hmm. And I like that. That's my favorite part. What other insights do we have about this commercial from a giant Disney conglomerate?
I'm going to go and say my favorite part of that trailer was definitely when I believe Warmonger, I think is his name, is the villain in this, played by the guy that was the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four movie. Great job being
really?
In a better film.
Huh.
Captain America? Chris Evans?
No. The Chris Evans,
the Human Torch F4. In the Fantastic Four.
Was it F4? Was it Fantastic? Imagine he's saying... Fantastic with a four.
Wait,
that one.
You mean the
four Antastic.
The Roger Corman one from back in the 90s.
Yes,
because there were no other Fantastic Four movies.
Exactly. But him, like, I love the scene when he takes out the sword, like we saw in trailer one. But the scene goes on a little longer, and then all of a sudden you see he has a Black Panther suit too. Which I thought was a cool thing because earlier in the trailer, you got to see like T'Challa like pull a like kind of like an Iron Man thing where like, oh, the suit just kind of forms over me at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, then he does the villain does the exact same thing. And he has like his own Black Panther suit. And just that was so cool because I didn't expect to see that. And I'm like, whoa, what? Like also, I really liked the scene when Claw shot the car. Mm. That was pretty cool. And Black Panther got to run along the side of the building.
Yeah, because I had no idea who Andy Serkis was going to be in this movie. And I was like, what's he supposed to... Is he... He's a bad guy? He's like, yeah, he's Claw. I was like, oh. Yeah.
Did you see... Okay.
Avengers 2.
Yeah, Avengers 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, Age of Ultron.
All right, fine. If you want to be accurate about it. Did you see that at all?
No.
All right, that's probably why you didn't know.
Yeah, that's probably why I'm like, who that?
Yeah, he had a small part in that movie, but it wasn't a super obvious that he was going to be Claw, except for getting his arm cut off. Which I believe
and the fact that they said that his name was Victor Claw.
Ulysses Claw.
Ulysses Claw.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
One of those letters at the end of the alphabet.
Listen, if you don't wear spandex and have superpowers, you're not a guy yet. I'm not going to learn your Christian name in a comic book. I'm not going to learn the name your mama calls you in the comic book. Oh my Claw God. Do you know who this is? This is Magnus Oberon. I'm like, who is that? That is Magneto.
Yeah, but his villain name is literally his last name.
Yeah,
it's
but
Claw.
His superhero name isn't Mr. Claw, or else I'd be like, all right, cool. You went straight for the Mr. Or Dr. Claw?
It's just
is Dr. Claw,
Claw
related
it's just
to
Claw? His
yeah,
name
my
is
point.
Claw.
Yeah, that's not enough. I don't call Al Baldino. Hey, Baldino. And then one day
he had,
when he ends up becoming a villain.
He had to get some serious bad done. He was like, yeah. I can't, you know, spend time thinking of a super villainous name. What's my last name? Go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing he had claw-based powers or else he would have felt like
a
moron.
I got, you know, orphanages to burn. Just going with the last
and
name.
And his claw. Yeah. All right. Let us move on to another Marvel property, shall we?
Okay.
All right. This is a trailer almost no one in the room knew about until we saw it in the suggested videos that us as professional video watchers get early access to.
I'm super excited about this.
X-Men The New Mutants. First of all, kudos to Fox Studios for doing good by the X-Men. Like, that is whatever they did with Fantastic Four, they did the opposite with X-Men. Marvel was just sort of like, we're not interested anymore. Yeah. And Fox Studios had put out Legion, they put out The Gifted, they put out the New Mutants, and even like the other movies that came out from the First Class universe. They're all really good things. They're really good attempts at playing with the genre.
I like that somebody has finally figured out why the Marvel Studios movies worked. And that's because Marvel Studios wasn't making superhero movies. They were making movies with superheroes in them.
Yeah.
Remember all the praise that came out after Winter Soldier.
Right.
Because they were making, you know, war films with the first Captain America.
They're heavily focused on superheroes, but
superheroes in them, but it's not just a superhero movie.
Yeah. Right. I see.
Iron Man 2 is a buddy comedy.
Yes.
Not only that, but they're taking this one in a totally different direction than I would have thought they would.
Yeah.
I thought they were just going for straight origin stories. No, they're going for horror and kind of origin stories,
it
seems.
This is a horror movie.
Yeah, and if you watch, it's really, what I like about this thing, really, is it's a slow kind of twist. It's that they're playing with the mutant idea, all the fun things that you could do with mutants, and tying mutants up with teenager. Right?
Yeah.
You're not in control of your body and your rage and your emotions.
Hormones.
You're a danger to yourself and others like all teenagers are.
That rattlesnake analogy is awesome.
Yeah.
It sets the basis for the film.
It really works.
And it
really
is also
does.
The kind of like sick logic that people use to, you know, torture
justify.
People who are different.
Right.
Yeah. You justify their actions to themselves, at least.
To themselves, definitely.
I thought this conversation was going somewhere else when you said justified. I thought you were justified
said it with
in
a question mark for a reason.
Yeah, because I'm not, like, I think there's, and I think there's, X-Men is a perfect example of that, maybe even a very bothersome example for that, because, like, is it justified? Because the difference between persecution in the real world of people and persecution of people who can blow up buildings with their minds.
It's
slightly different.
Yeah.
And I think... Yeah.
Not only that, but we can't really tell if the kids in the trailer were born mutants or if they're part of some sort of, you know, genetic program like we kind of see. We saw that at the end of Logan, where all the kids were made mutants, basically.
Yeah. So there's a lot of... What I like... My favorite part about this, really, is that... Fox is taking liberties with what they've got. They've got mutants, so they're going to make a horror movie mutant now. They're going to make a, you know, coming-to-age tale mutant story. They're going to make something cute and fun. They've got a lot of different projects going on, and they're making them strong.
Yeah,
I definitely have to say, like, I really like the idea they went this route, because it's a route we haven't necessarily gone down in film before, definitely in comic books. But the idea, and some TV shows, now that I think about it, But the idea of putting superheroes, or not necessarily superheroes, but superpowered beings in a horror setting, it really does sort of change the game up a little bit, because normally you're always thinking, like, well, why doesn't the person in this do this, or they're tripping over their own feet, or there's all these... Here you have characters with superpowers, the ability to just do a bunch of things on their own, and like, well, wow, all right, well, not only that, but it also increases what the thing could be. Mm-hmm. What the monster behind the curtain could actually be, besides just ghosts.
Have you seen any of Legion?
No, I have not.
You should watch that show.
Or I think if there are really no monsters behind mind. The curtain.
Yeah, that's exactly what will blow your mind in Legion. It's pretty interesting.
What if the curtain is the monster?
I'm afraid of curtains.
And there is no curtain.
Wow.
Wow.
Let's keep it superhero related by doing the Justice League trailer.
We have questions.
Thanks for that big reveal, Frank.
Here, Justice League,
edge of my seat. Trailer?
Because I wasn't sure if Official Heroes trailer was the name of this trailer. This trailer came with the pre-trailer.
Yeah, it did.
What is this?
And it has a title? That was adorable.
It has a title? It's an Official Heroes trailer? But listen,
keep it classy,
here's the thing.
DC.
It's the thing where geeks on the internet are now, not all, but many of them are sort of knocking these WB, Justice League, Grimdark movies. I really don't want to be that guy anymore. I really just don't find it fun to talk about. But yeah. it seemed kind of boring. It was just like a lot of it was graphic heavy and weird. It was just a bunch of stuff happening at once.
Yeah, I agree.
Way too many emotions, especially in the beginning. Like, I think like what you said, like when we were done, was like, we have questions.
Yeah.
Like, what exactly are we seeing here?
It's kind of heartbreaking for me, because I'm a comic book fan.
Yeah.
I want these movies to be good.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And I get the feeling that more so than ever before, DC is trying.
Definitely, they I feel like trying, they're attempting to address issues.
And they're just, they're not getting what's wrong with it. And I don't know if I can tell them what's wrong with what they're doing.
Especially with this one, yeah.
I mean, I feel like, there is just so much going on. And like while I was saying, like, there's so much emotion here. And it's going from one thing to the other. Like, we open with, like, spoilers, I guess, for Batman. Superman on the field and Lois dealing with him being dead. And
suddenly dirt in her hand.
And it goes to, like, kind of some action stuff. And there's, like, a bit of comedy in there. And, like, some aspects of, like, it's very whiplashy and not picking a tone.
No, that's here my perfect,
three
yeah.
takeaways from this. My three takeaways are, one, it feels like it had rewrites.
Yes.
And
yes.
I don't know if I knew that or if I just I'm projecting what I know on it, but it feels like there was like, let's try to adjust. Two, it feels like they're attempting to address problems people have with their movies. Mm-hmm. So they're like, all right, people think it's not fun enough, so let's throw in jokes. Even though if half the movie is like grandstanding with a fan in your hair, the next scene is, you know, a Hulk versus Thor kind of buddy moment, yeah, which doesn't feel right because the tone changes too abruptly in one trailer. And then it also, I don't like the look of it. Like, a lot of the characters, especially Flash and Cyborg, look weirdly CGI and uninteresting.
Out of place.
They don't feel like they match anything in the background, and it's very odd. So what I did like about it, I do like the basic concept of I'm getting the band together, back together, really.
And to go more on what you said, Frank, it definitely, the trailer just feels like they don't know where they're rewriting and where they're keeping stuff yet. Like, it just feels like the trailer they just took from various clips are like, all right, we're pretty sure we're keeping these. Let's just run them together.
Yeah.
I the more I see of these, the more I get the feeling that DC is trying to fix the problems of their last movie with their next movie.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, okay, people complained about this in Suicide Squad, so we'll tweak this. Or, oh, hey, people really liked Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. So let's put more Wonder Woman in this. And they're not getting that these are different movies.
Yeah.
Different styles.
You know, you fix the problems in Suicide Squad in Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or at very least, they're just trying to shove it all into one trailer to prove to everyone that, yeah, we've got it all.
Yeah.
We got every movie you wanted out of this. If you wanted a serious superhero romp, it's in there. Oh, did you want a funny movie? Yep, it's in here.
Thinking about it, going off of what Pete said, you remember people were complaining about how the trailer was basically just a mini version of Batman versus Superman when it came out. It feels like it's the opposite with this trailer. It's like, let's just put stuff in here and maybe they won't get what we're going for.
It's a bunch of stuff.
Because for all we know, it could be misdirection.
Yeah. Actually, I'm terrified that this is a mini version of Justice League.
Oh, yeah, wow. Geez.
Right? Yeah, maybe.
Speaking
maybe
of
they
misdirection,
didn't think of that.
Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, good thing you did.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, see how I set him
murder
up.
Murder on the Orient Express.
There you go.
2017.
I'm smart.
So, anyways, this movie looks great. It's got everyone in it. Not literally. There's only like 10 parts, but
yeah,
still,
there's like three people that aren't.
But there
in
are
it.
a lot of great cameo. Not cameos. What am I talking about? There's a lot of good actors in this movie. A lot of
it's loaded with star power.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does seem like it's a lot of fun. I happen to not remember how this resolves.
Me neither.
So good. I'm going to drink a lot.
We're so illiterate.
Yeah. Well, there has been movie versions. But I think what I like about this the most, and try to find something that's great about all of this, is that the mustaches, really.
Oh, my God.
Mustaches are amazing.
Yeah.
I haven't seen mustaches this good since Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
Oh, see, I was going to say Hunger Games, but okay.
Oh, there were some interesting ones. Yeah.
I'm going to say the thing I like the most about is the style. Absolutely. Mm. Just looking at the something about the way, something about the way it's lit, something about the background, something about everything. Like it screams a certain type of like updated noir, not noir, like updated kind of kitsch, if that makes any sense. Like it's like if I wanted to try and remake the 1940s in the year 2030, if that makes any sense. Like it has very much that kind of a feel to it.
It does.
When you said updated kitsch, which I don't think is quite right, I would have picked. I imagined Jonathan Walters in the role of Hercule Poirot, and I'm like, yes, all in. I will crowdsource this movie.
Well, with the style of it, it's all on the train, and it's all on the train like during wintertime when they're going through like a snow covered passage in the mountains. So maybe that's what you like about it so much, Al.
Yeah, it could be that.
It looks like it's going to be a fun movie. I can't wait to see this one. It's really exciting. And speaking of fun. Fundamentally, I don't know how to segue into
this. See, I didn't set you up for this. So go ahead.
Pacific Rim 2.
It's a Pacific Rim.
The deuce. I don't know. I really loved the original Pacific Rim movie.
Yeah,
I thought it was a hell of a lot of fun.
I think
if you like monster movies and giant robots, if you're an anime kid, you know, this is up your alley. This movie did not seem like it was anything, really. It seemed like it could be good. I don't know. It just seemed like a trailer.
This is my thing about it. Like, it looks like it has the potential to be great. It definitely does. Mm-hmm. I do love John Boyega. John Boyega's a really good actor. He's playing the son of
he was the main general.
Idris Elba? Idris Elba's character. Yeah.
Oh.
He's playing the son of Idris Elba's character. And I like the designs of some of the robots, but immediately while I was watching this, two things came to me. One, why are the robots fighting? That was kind of weird.
Oh, they're fighting each other, you mean?
Like, there were scenes in there where the robots were fighting each other.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm not sure what the story.
Seems like a tournament?
Oh, it could have been a tournament. It could also be like, oh, well, now the monsters are gone and we have these giant weapons of destruction. Let's use them against each other because we're humans.
That would make sense.
Yes. Of all the extreme leaps of faith that Pacific Rim's universe asks you to make, your problem is, why are the robots fighting?
Well, no. But like, no, that's not my only problem. It's just one of my problems
in the
trailer. And I'm just sort of sitting there, and I'm like, I hope it's what Frank says, because otherwise, if it's just training or it's like a tournament, like that feels less interesting. But the monsters are gone and we have giant robots. That feels like, okay, wow, yeah, war is now different. And the monsters show up afterwards or show up later. Something happens with them. Because we do see the creatures in there. And we see one, weirdly, I think, merge with other monsters to become a bigger one, which that's interesting. But my big thing is I'm looking at it. One of the things that I loved about the original Pacific Rim was that the robots felt like they had weight. It looked like they moved like the giant machines that they were.
Yeah, these move like Transformers.
Exactly. Yeah. They literally move like Transformers. I'm like, boy.
They move way too smoothly.
This is not how I wanted it.
The conceit in the first one where you need two pilots or at least two pilots to share the load doesn't necessarily seem like it was carried over in this one. It seemed like there was a lot more lone fighting in this. Maybe it was just the way it was shot.
I think it was just the way it was shot.
Because there were definitely a few scenes.
There were a few scenes where there were two pilots, but I felt like there were a few scenes where somebody's doing martial arts in a pod, and you're like, I don't see where the other pilot is in this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess it means we'll have to wait for the next four trailers to drop for this before we can determine.
Doesn't it come out next week, though?
Oh, crap.
Four more trailers.
So, like we said last time, go see this movie if you want to see movies like this be made, I guess. I don't know. It feels a little bit like we're kind of forcing it. And that segues deliciously into the Star Wars Last Jedi.
Force.
Yeah, the force. Word force. It's a thing from Star Wars.
It is. It
I'm
is.
Not helping really you anymore with your segues.
Yeah. So, Boyega. Oh, Boyega. This one.
That one was forced.
I didn't want to watch this movie, this trailer, because I didn't want it to give away too much. For some reason, I think I heard that it spoiled a lot, or like it suggested.
The good Mr. Johnson did say that you shouldn't watch the trailer if you want to go in with fresh eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Although after the trailer dropped, he then turned around and said, no, I take it back. Watch the trailer.
Never mind, I made a mistake.
There was another trailer that was just the last 4 minutes of the movie.
Lucasfilm informed me that I want you to see this trailer.
I re-looked at my contract.
So yeah, I acquiesced and I watched it and I learned nothing.
Yep. Yeah, same here.
Not a damn thing.
I disagree. It answered the one question that I really wanted a trailer to answer.
Oh.
And that was, did they just go ahead and remake Empire Strikes Back?
No.
Oh, okay, yeah.
How did you get that they didn't in this?
Because I don't see any hints of Empire Strikes Back in this.
I didn't see much hints at all. That's interesting. Yeah. I saw like it was like there are going to be some interesting scenes. I like the Finn Phasma fight.
Say yeah, that looks good.
Three times fast.
Yeah.
No thanks.
But and then there was and I really do like where Kylo Ren is coming from as a character. Somebody who like wants to push his goodness aside, who wants to just kill,
just really wants to kill his parents.
Yeah, he really does.
Well, I think there's definitely the easiest way is that this guy's just some sort of like half-assed Hamlet, which is what I would totally call him into his face.
Damn Hamlet. It, Frank! Who told you the title of episode 9?
But like
Star
I think
Wars,
there's
Star
also
Wars,
like if you think about what the force is and how it affects your emotions or how it's fueled by emotion, like I get the like being a pawn of goodness and evil is really weird, and I think it's an interesting take on a character that we have not seen.
Yeah,
I'm excited for it. I got mostly a glimpse of the style. I did not get any spoilers on what I think the story might be. Although I guess maybe there is the misdirection might be does Rey go to Kylo for edumacation?
I think there's another little bit of misdirection, but I'm not going to go into it.
It's probably involving Chewbacca and the Pikachu, right?
they're
I want 10
porgs,
of those.
But yes, yeah. Porgs.
I want 10 of them.
I also really like the scene with Luke when he's talking about like I saw this power once before and it didn't scare me, then it scares me now, and I'm like there was never that scene in Empire.
Yeah.
Like so that all that alleviated some of my fears. There wasn't a moment when Yoda went like, I'm not gonna train you. You're like stupid strong.
Oh, like, you have not seen the deleted scenes from Empire Strikes Back. How strong are you?
I think it's very interesting that Luke seems to be in a perpetual state of confusion.
Yeah.
And constipation.
It's a choice.
Well, he's a lot older.
I saw some mix of emotions there on his face.
Yeah. So I guess that's it. I guess we just did a half-hour long commercial for commercials.
Yay, again, commercials.
On the Productive Network.
Yep.
So if you like our crap, why don't you rate and review our podcast? It helps us spread word about it. And also, hey, click on some of these other podcasts all around you. I'm not on video. I don't know why I'm gesturing. But click on some of these other podcasts all around you and listen to longer form commercials, which is basically all we do now. Hooray for everything.
Hooray for commercials.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Nighty-night.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.